Jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. We are brought to you, as always, by absolutely nobody. Nobody is responsible for this. No one takes responsibility for this.
Certainly not us.
It just happens.
And listeners like you.
Be-dee-dee. But no, seriously, check out my Patreon. Now, we've just had an epic bit of odds and ends that you'll eventually get to listen to. So, I am Chewy.
Liar.
No, that part's true.
No, the instrument.
It's
like a little harp thing, yeah.
Isn't that a magic card? Elven lyre? Elvish lyre? Gatherer.
Does it hang out with the like Elvish Piper?
That sounds like an unset card, actually, the Elvish lyre.
Search. Elven lyre is an artifact from Fallen Empires. There's also a goblin lyre from Ice Age.
That sounds like much funnier art.
And the siren, it's really not. And the siren song lyre from Born of the Gods.
I remember.
They're all artifacts. The new one is an equipment. Anyway, so I'm Chewy. And I do not play the lyre.
How about the loot?
I like fat loot. Does that count?
Sure. Let's go.
As long as you cannot lie.
I mean, you're the one that plays Destiny. Don't you like fat loot? Clues, also here.
If I did, I'd probably play something other than Destiny. Because
like in the loot cave?
Yeah, I miss the loot cave so damn much.
Bet you do.
I have no idea what they're talking about. And also
ask your nerds.
Is Squee.
Hello, and in a world on the brink of democracy, three people will not talk about it.
Oh, God, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Prophecy has come to pass.
For the record, for those of you that do like fat loot, did you hear about the upcoming expansion DLC thing for Diablo 3?
No.
I don't know anything about it other than they're introducing a new class.
Is it a cow?
No, it's a necromancer, maybe? Necro something?
Is it a necro cow?
Is it a beefamancer?
There's no beef. There is no secret cow level, for God's sake.
I wanted a beefamancer.
Stay a while and listen.
I've got no beef with that.
What can I do for you?
Oh my God. So, roboting clues and random bill aside, we have stuff to talk about that is not political and is not completely depressing.
Maybe not completely.
Not completely.
Also, Domo Arigato.
Is this more onomatopoeia songs?
No, it's just okay. That I was roboting, apparently, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, that's where we went with that. By the way, I'm glad that a few people commented on the Discord comment left from last time around.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. That was a
nice
Discord joke. It amused some people. You're welcome. I'll keep up the good work.
I do not
I'll
remember
keep up
this.
The work.
I don't remember.
Well, we talked about how we were now recording on Discord, and
right,
I made a John DeLancey joke because his character on My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Oh,
is Discord.
Right, that joke.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
That's
the one
right.
That fell flat because we are not the people that can bounce that off of.
Yep, that's the one. I set him up, and my co-hosts stare blankly at me.
Like I said, you found the one thing I can't help you with.
That and Hazy Shade of Winter. So, where you want to go first? This is a show, by the way, about magic. Did you know that?
I did.
That's what I was told.
Yeah.
And if you're new to the show, welcome aboard.
Hi there.
It's like this every week.
Yeah, we're always like this all the time. So, last week we were a bit alarmist. Just a bit, though.
Strangely, nobody took us to task for that.
Which is a little strange, but I'm gonna take us to task for us. Legacy itself.
Legacy is dead!
Shut up, Clues. Legacy itself is not dead, okay? Legacy as a large and popular tournament format has been shot in the face, but Legacy itself is not gonna die. It's not like Extended, where Wizards is just completely pretending it doesn't exist. In, I think, 3 weeks, there's another Legacy event. And then in January, there's another Legacy event. Of course, then we don't get one until,
Legacy event ever.
June, maybe? No! But, yeah, so Legacy itself is not dead. Legacy as a large, well-supported and expensive tournament format is
Sorry, you were being serious. Sorry, go on.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, again.
Was I roboting again?
Like, it's bad, too.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Huh. No? Yes? I'm fine. How are you?
You're doing better now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the problem was. Let me go close some stuff.
Yeah, that's probably like a good idea. Close that Bengals video, for God's sake. Now.
Stop downloading the internet.
Stop all the downloading. But, for real, Legacy is still a thing and is still going to be played. More on that actually in just a minute. It just won't be played on such a large scale so much. But that said, the final of the big Star City Opens happened this weekend. Where was that? Baltimore, right? Was that
Baltimore? That is correct.
Hey, Stark was there. Hey, buddy.
That sounds like somewhere Stark would be.
I don't think he lives terribly far away, so. But anyway, so Legacy happened for the... Wait, is it... It's not the final time, right? They're still doing a couple of the big
events. They are still doing a couple.
Okay, so
there are just going to be less of them.
Right, possibly like three or four. And the every week opens are not going to be a thing anymore. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's really... So if we could just stop. We're being a little facetious here. Legacy, there are going to be a lot fewer sanctioned large Legacy tournaments. That we can say without a doubt.
People will be coming to your house and burning your force of will. Those people will be clues.
It will mostly be clues, yes. And no, I would sell the force of wills on the secondary market to someone else. I will be burning the tops, all of them.
Right. Forgot
every
about that.
Last one, even the top playmat, I'm going to burn that. It's going to smell terrible.
Yeah, don't breathe that in.
Wear a mask.
Those things smell awful when they're new. I'd hate to see them on fire.
Wear a plague doctor mask. It'll be way scarier.
That's awesome. Can I get a plague doctor mask?
You can.
Somebody get me one of those.
Neat.
All right, anyway, so Baltimore, you want to... Shall we turn our attention first to the Legacy Open in Baltimore?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, great. Well, there were 564 brave souls who turned out to play the king of all formats, the Legacies. And they were in Baltimore.
Yay.
Sounds like somewhere where they'd be.
It does. Like Stark. So, in first place of this completely solved Legacy format, can we say that?
No, you can never say that.
No, you can't really
Wait, it's
that.
Either you can never say that or you can always say that, but I'm not sure which.
Either one is just as valid. It was Shardless Bug being piloted by Jonathan Orr.
Nice.
Shardless Bug. The new hotness in, I think, any of the top eight decks, I think there's really just the one new hotness that's here. And that is Leovold, Emissary of Trest.
Man, people from Trest are just killer in Legacy.
Which is from Conspiracy 2. Take the crown.
Conspiracy harder.
Take it somewhere. Take it away.
Conspiracy Boogaloo.
The Wrath of Crown.
I certainly like the Legacy Boogaloo best of all of those. So those who don't know Leovold, Emissary of Trest, it costs Bug, which is a black, a blue, and a green Bug. That's why it's Shardless Bug. Okay, not Shardless Sultai, because what
for all you kids out there, please get off of Clues' lawn.
Yes, my lawn has too many people on it. Those people are you. Stop. For a bug, it gets you a 3/3 legendary elf advisor.
Advisor, you say?
If you're going to take advice, take it from Leovold, the Emissary of Trest. Each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn.
That's really pretty rough in Legacy.
Legacy, that seems real good. Whenever you or a permanent you control becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, you may draw a card.
That also sounds good.
That seems really good in Legacy. So there you go. That's Leovold. You could argue that it was a card designed for a multiplayer, intrinsically multiplayer format like Commander, and that's why it was in the Conspiracy set. I don't know about that. I really feel like it was just made for Legacy, and they're like, where can we put this that it won't break all the things? But it seems real good, honestly. If you're gonna stoop to play in blue, I'd play this card.
That's only 33% blue blues.
That's right. I mean, it's two-thirds good God-fearing colors.
Plus, its first ability is just a big to blue.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. That Brainstorm's not so good now, is it? Nope.
I do like how it is the three colors that draw cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the top eight, in second place, hey, have you guys ever heard of a player named Joe Lissette?
Yeah, he plays lots of the deck that shall not be named, right?
Yeah, that's totally what he's playing, too.
Oh, good.
He made it all the way to second place with Miracles. It's
Hashtag
look, Joe,
no need to stop the top anymore.
Joe, I know you like the deck, and I know you're pretty good with the deck. I don't hate you, Joe. I hate your deck.
He's not saying you're a bad person. He's saying you make bad choices.
I'm not. I'm saying you play a bad deck. By bad, I mean good. It consistently does really well in Legacy events, but I kind of hate it. Seriously.
It's got red in the sideboard.
Is a terrible, terrible mistake.
It's got red Elemental Blast clues.
And Pyroblast.
And Pyroblast.
And Kozluck's Return. Look at all that red.
And Pyroblast.
And Pyroblast?
Yeah, it's also got Pyroblast. It's great.
Oh, hey, yeah.
But it's also carrying Jace the Mind Sculptor and Sensei's Divining Top and Counterbalance and Brainstorm and Force of Will. And, oh, God, I hate this deck so damn much. But it does well, so, you know, I guess I can't fault them. Third place, Daryl Ayers is playing lands. Lands. Oh, do you like lands?
I really prefer having them on the board.
Oh, too bad. We're going to get rid of all of yours because we're playing lands.
Aw.
And if that doesn't work, well, we're just going to, you know, Punishing Fire Grove the Burn Willows you. Oh, and if that doesn't work, we're just going to Thespian Stage Dark Depths you. Yay, I have lands and you can't stop me.
My deck doesn't do anything without lands.
Yeah, lands. In fourth place, David Long is playing a deck that it's new. You probably haven't heard of it. It's called Lands.
Oh, man, I heard about that once. Wait, no, that was no.
Wait different. A minute. How does it get rid of all your lands?
So the lands deck, it recurs Ghost Quarter.
Oh, wait a minute. We're in Legacy where nobody plays basic lands. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, well, it you just reoccur Ghost Quarter until they're all out of lands.
Oh, I didn't even see the Ghost Quarter. I was looking at Wasteland going, well, that's good enough, I guess.
Yeah, well, you can do that, too. But, I mean, even if they've got basics, you just recur your Ghost Quarter until they have no lands.
Yeah.
Because it's got Life from the Loam. And
yeah. And that card is completely fair.
Yeah, you're not going to like it.
So, look, there's more lands.
Yeah, there's more lands in fourth place. Which, this one, I don't think it's got the Grove of the Burn Willows combo. The Punishing Fire Grove combo. I don't believe that's in this one.
It is not.
So, there's that.
yes, there is.
True story.
In fifth place, we've got some Bant Deathblade.
Hey, look, there's Leovold again.
Yep, here's another Leovold. And, oh, look, it's True Name Nemesis. Dear God, why did you print this card?
Because Legacy. No, wait.
No good could ever come of this card, ever, for any reason. Stop it.
Fish.
Although it did get Thomas Smiley to fifth place, so maybe some good came of it.
Mm. But at what cost?
I mean, he got to play Deathrite Shaman. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, well, I do approve of that. I do like Deathrite Shaman.
It's like the best one-mana Planeswalker ever.
He is the one-mana Planeswalker we deserve.
Poor Kidian.
By deserve, I mean banned in Modern.
Yay, wait.
In sixth place, we have Ian Bosley with a deck labeled Loam.
Is that like Life from the Loam clues?
It is, in fact, like Life from the Loam, and...
Oh, okay. There's the Knight of the Reliquary.
Yeah. It's a junk deck with Life from the Loam.
And Punishing Fire. This is a weird deck.
It is kind of a strange deck.
It's like Jund and... like Maverick and a little bit of the Punishing Fire.
Kind of looks like it has lands mixed in.
Yeah, with like a little bit of lands thrown in. It's this weird amalgamation of all of these in such a way that it works.
Yeah, now I'm not going to say that this is not an established deck. I'm just going to say that at first glance, this deck really looks like the tournament was coming. You had loaned some cards to some other people and you're like, I don't actually have any of my Legacy decks anymore. What if I put these together?
I've played those decks.
You didn't finish in the top eight, though, did you?
Yeah, well, nah. It was good enough. Good enough for sixth. So there you go. Seventh place, we have.
Wait. Yes, listener, we know this is an established deck.
Yeah, we do. This way's funnier.
It really is.
Yeah,
and if you don't think so, then clearly our humor is not for you.
I think you've tuned into the wrong.
We guessed our way through Vintage. We're doing all right.
You know, we did, and good on us for that, by the way.
Yeah. Although I did get a message from Billy, who was like, I think the word you were looking for was mud. I'm like, yeah, I know it was called mud. I didn't think about that at the time because nobody plays Vintage.
Seventh place, Brendan McCarley is playing Grixis Delver.
Which used to be red, blue, black. Oh, this one didn't exist back before there were names because it would have been a Rub Delver.
Yeah, well, it kind of existed. I remember calling it Rub Delver for a little while because that was funny. It made five-year-old me giggle.
But it is playing Zombiefish, so it gets points.
Zombiefish.
And
in eighth place, Chief Abs was playing Miracles. It's still
this
a
isn't
thing.
Exactly the same, though.
No, it's got some differences. It's got Nahiri the Harbinger in it, for God's sake.
That is not a miracle.
That's because
that
it's
is
running,
a prophet.
That's because he's running one Emrakul and one Nahiri, just as a, I guess, as a, watch this, which seems fine, I guess.
I mean, it
does give you a 13 mana thing to counter an opposing Emrakul, I guess,
opposing
in case anyone ever hard casts it. Because this is Emrakul the Promised End. This isn't even Aeon's Torn.
Yeah, that is new Emrakul.
In Legacy, that's weird. Go get him G-Fabs. Sabo's Web. Sorry. There's a Sabo's Web in the board.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty funny in Legacy.
All right, then.
And there you go. That is your top eight at this event. Let's take a glance outside of the top eight and see what we find.
Eldrazi Scourge.
The Eldrazi Menace.
Menace.
Or Scourge. Or
same thing.
Threat.
Unpleasantness.
The Eldrazi Unpleasantness is in ninth place. Some more miracles crop up in, let's just take a look. 11th, 13th. I thought there was another one that was in the top 20. No, 24th. There it is. It pops up. Some Grixis Painter out in 19th. Elves in 16th. That was cool. Also in 12th. I like elves.
Yeah, you do.
I think we should have more elves, quite frankly.
And this is an elf.
What's... nice try. What flavor of storm did we have in 21st place? Because we didn't yet get our usual weekly which storm is this.
I see no wishes.
I see an ad nauseum and a tendrils, though, so it looks like ant.
Yeah.
Ant storm.
Auroru Monroe.
Check out 15th place.
Oh, I was thinking Sue Storm, actually, but okay, sure.
No one thinks of Sue Storm.
Depths combo.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I was recently watching season 4 of Arrested Development, so it came up.
It's a straight up.
Oh yeah, this
dark
is
combo
this
deck.
Is just the Dark Deck Depths combo deck, yeah.
And that's it. None of the other fancy. It's just that.
That's what we're doing.
Huh. Okay then. Neat.
Ain't got time for normal lands.
Nah.
Anything else interesting that struck you gentlemen in the top 32?
So I know I'm going to regret this. What the hell is Nykfit? I forgot.
That pops up once in a while.
Yeah, it does come up once in a while. And I can never remember exactly what Nykfit does. Let's go pull it up.
Well, it is running four Veteran Explorer, so...
Marin of Clan Neltoth.
That yeah, didn't used to be in
it's
there.
It's running Nell Carter here.
You get experience counters.
What? And a Thrag Tusk. And Siege Rhino. Oh, God! And Grave Titan. It's like all of the standards of days past horrors come back to get us.
Yeah.
So Green Sun Zenith. Okay. Are you just... And it's running Nissa Vital Force. What?
What? Yeah, this has Nissa Vital Force and two Sensei's Divining Tops. I'm done. I'm closing this window.
Are you sure? Because there's a Kaya Ghost Assassin in the board, too.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I closed that window.
I don't know.
Done here. Walking away.
All right. Well, listeners, I know that it really doesn't matter much, but feel free to chime in on what the hell's going on here, because this is cool.
I'm very confused by this.
Did we mention the Grave Titan?
I did. And Sigarda and Thrun the Last Troll, because, you know, reasons. That reason is probably hexproof and regenerate, but and can't be countered. But still, reasons.
From the vault, Jund?
Yeah. Well, no, because there's white.
Abzan. From the vault, Abzan, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to close that, too. That's starting to freak me out a little.
Yep. That was the correct answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, other than there's an Enchantress deck all the way down in 31st. There's a thing you
there
don't see
is, in
often.
Fact. It is a fairly uncommon deck to see.
Oh, my God. You remember the Doomwake Giant? I'd forgotten about the Doomwake Giant. It's also running Carpet of God. Flowers and Elephant Grass, just in case, you know, you need more lawn.
Doomwake Giant in an Enchantress deck sounds absolutely awful.
I'm sorry.
Not for the Enchantress player, for their opponent. Oh, God.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I like it.
I think you mispronounced that word.
Sorry. It's all right. So, dear listeners, I would like to take a brief moment to remind you, now that we're done, are we done with Legacy? We're done with Legacy, right?
Well, I mean, okay, let's just take a quick glance at the top eight. We had two lands decks, we had two miracle decks. The others were not repeats. It's, you know, it's a reasonable set of decks here. It's not too degenerate, it's not too inbred. There's too many miracles decks. And there's not enough straight up aggro in the top eight, but that's always gonna be the case.
I don't see any burn, and I'm sad.
Yeah, well, we're always sad when there's no burn.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe later.
It is Legacy.
Maybe later.
Where burn is one of those things where if it pops up, then that means that there's probably something slightly wrong with people's plans.
Oh, well, burn went to get lunch.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I mean, burn decks are good for getting to lunch.
Yes. Yes, they are. But now I think we're done with,
Okay, so. Our good buddy and unsung hero of Monday Night Magic, Will Blanks, who is a judge who lives somewhere near Atlanta, if I remember correctly, and so, you know, may he get to anywhere he ever wants to go ever in one piece.
I hope it's Peachtree. I know he'll get there.
Actually, the place that I had to go to last Tuesday, by the way, listeners, my part-time driving gig took me to Chamblee? Georgia, and I went to one of the peach trees, and I giggled at that.
But there are many.
Yeah, this one wasn't even in Atlanta, and there's still peach trees. But the traffic there is god-awful, and anyone who lives there, leave. Go live somewhere that makes sense. For God's sake.
Sorry, I did not expect that. Okay.
It's awful.
I think they're trying, but they keep taking a left at Peachtree, and they can't quite find their way out.
Well, there's so many peach trees, eventually they just end up back where they started. That's why there's so much traffic.
No one ever leaves. They're just always there.
But anyway, so our buddy Will, who again, is our fourth member of Monday Night Magic, who keeps the show notes full of stuff for us to talk about, is his store, which I've accidentally clicked away, which is the Gigabytes Tabletop Gaming Cafe, is holding the Gigabytes Legacy Quarterly. Legacy Quarterly. And this time, first prize is a Mox Jet, which is pretty awesome. And that is Saturday. It just says Saturday. Okay, this Saturday, November 12th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's in Marietta, Georgia. You poor, poor bastard. if any of you are near that and want to prove that Legacy is not dead, then you should go check it out. Entry fee is $30, and it starts at 11 a.m.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I believe in your ability to do it again.
Just want to make sure I didn't miss something. I'm sorry. Is that a Legacy quarterly, and you can battle for a Mox Jet?
Yes.
Which is, let me just think about this, banned in Legacy?
Yes.
So this is a gateway tournament to Vintage.
I think it's more of a gateway tournament to have a large
to fat loot. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you remember the fat loot we talked about earlier?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, my bad. Sure.
Second place, just while we're on it, is a choice of an underground sea or a volcanic island.
Sweet.
Third and fourth get a choice of a tropical island or tundra.
Nice.
And it says fifth through eighth gets a choice of Alliance's Force of Will or a Mox Diamond. So the Mox top Diamond. Eight gets pretty good. But the whole point of this is, well, the whole point is to give Will's store a plug. But the greater point is to point out that just because the Star City Open is not going to be supporting Legacy super heavily anymore, and just because Wizards has not supported Legacy heavily in several years on the Grand Prix circuit, Legacy's not dead. One of the, hopefully, side effects of the large tournaments going away is that hopefully, and this is just me talking, you guys stop me if I'm wrong, this means that Legacy prices will slowly start to go down. In theory, if the, cause supply and demand is a thing, damn it. And if the big tournaments aren't happening anymore, then in theory, the demand should go down, which means the price should go down. Now, I might be wrong, and it's entirely possible that I am, but thank you for your condescension there, Clues.
You're welcome.
But the point is, just because the two biggest TOs aren't doing, well, not TOs, but the two biggest people that run tournaments aren't doing that anymore, it doesn't mean that stores aren't. If you have a Legacy community, such as it is, then by all means, keep playing Legacy. Don't sell out. Don't, it's dead, I'm giving up, I'm selling all my stuff. And if so, then, you know, sell it for lots. But don't sell out because you feel like you have to, because Legacy is not dead. It's, like I said earlier, it's not going the way of Extended. Wizards only pretends Legacy doesn't exist when they're designing cards, not when they're rattling off formats that they support.
I also want to point out that if you happen to know, dear listener, of a sweet, sweet Legacy tournament, such as the one that we have plugged just now, hey, let us know. We'll see what we can. We'll see if we can tell people. Now, if your fat Legacy tournament, if your awesome Legacy tournament is like eight people and is barely going to fire, yeah, we probably don't need to know about that.
Yeah, and if it's every week,
well, unless it's Sunday Legacy at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina, it's a great shop. You should check it out and go play Legacy on Sundays. Tell them Clues sent you. Play a burn deck. They'll never see it coming. Unless you just told them.
Unless
the
you tell them.
You, and then they're totally going to see that coming. Wear a bow tie, play goblins, just see what happens. Somebody might, you know, buy you a soda. Who knows?
Or an adult beverage if you're old enough.
It's possible.
So, yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. Legacy's not really dead. Keep playing Legacy. Keep supporting Legacy.
It is the king of all formats.
Or the monarch of all formats because, you know, queens and stuff. See what I did there? I'm being inclusive by changing one word, and that makes people feel better.
I also appreciate the fact that you call it the monarch of all formats. It's fitting because it died and is here again.
See?
Per conspiracy.
So, yeah, there you go, dear listeners. Legacy is dead. Long live the legacy. But there were other events happening this weekend. Most notably, the most notable one we'll get to in a minute. But let's finish off the Star City event in Baltimore. There was a standard classic. Who played that? 166 people played in that. And Reed Duke won. No surprise there, since he was playing.
He does tend to do well at these Star City events.
And he's playing the white-red Road Rage.
You need more than one for traffic.
We didn't forget. Ted Felicetti? Someone tell me how to pronounce that.
Nope.
In second place was playing Bant Agro, which we do not have a sound effect for.
Oh, man, we have to come up with one.
If it pops up again next week, we'll come up with one.
Okay. It has to earn it.
Exactly.
You earn that sound effect. Only but so many buttons on the soundboard.
It's totally the Bant Agro deck that you'd expect, because we've talked about it a few times. It is running four Tamiyo, which I found hilarious.
Woo!
In third place, Michael Finney is running Aumwa, Black Green Delirium. Yep, nothing really. Yeah, nothing to see here. Noxious Gearhulk.
Still good.
Grimflayer, Kalatazish, Kana, Tireless Tracker. Yeah. And then your Vessels and Traverses and Murders and, yeah, Grasp and Grapples. Yeah, just all that stuff, everything you'd expect. Fourth place, Daniel Byington. Okay, there's no L there. Byington is running a more different Bant Aggro deck. Hang on, let me compare these two. I think the second place deck is actually a little lower on the curve with Duskwatch Recruiter and Reflector Mage. This one is running the Verdurous Gearhulk and Fairgrounds Warden and Thalia. Ooh. Oh, but he's also got Smuggler's Copter. What the hell is Revolutionary Rebuff? Counter-target non-artifact spell unless the controller pays two. Oh, okay. Well, that's neat. What's this random limited card doing in here?
Probably countering things that aren't Smuggler's Copters.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Which is admittedly a lot of stuff.
The second place deck is running more creatures and only two Stasis Snares. The fourth place deck is running Smuggler's Copters, two Stasis Snares, two Blossoming Defense, and the one Rebuff. So, they're actually pretty different.
It's always weird when you see a man land in the sideboard.
It's in the sideboard.
There's a Lumbering Falls in there.
How many are in the main?
None.
That's okay.
I mean, it does come in tapped, so it's not like it's a nothing effect, but I'm just wondering that the circumstance where you swap it in.
For when you need to slow things down, I guess? Play the long game? I guess? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Maybe you board it in against people that have a lot of board wipes. I have no idea.
Maybe you board it in when you board in Nissa Vital Force. What? Where does she keep coming from?
Zendikar.
Oh, right. Okay. Fifth place, Chris Anderson is playing Blue-White Flash. Because he will, in fact, save every one of us. Yeah, see, we didn't forget.
No?
How could you forget Flash?
Nothing really to talk about here, though. Sixth place, Josh Cho is also playing that deck. Seventh place, Andrew Holt is playing a Teamer Emerge deck. With four main deck Filigree Familiar, a main deck Arborback Stomper.
So weird.
Do not want to run into any sort of burn. Look at this. He's running three Corrupted Graphstone in the main. Wow. That's a graveyard-centric mana rock.
Yeah.
Vessel Weirding Wood. Wow. I had to read that one again.
Gotta investigate. What is this?
And it's ramp and investigate.
Hmm.
And, of course, he's running Grapple and Traverse and Vessel because, you know, Emerge. What's he emerging? There's the four Elder Deep Fiend, and that's it in the main. Okay, but he's got Worldbreaker, and he's got Ishkana and two Emrakul, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm still trying to figure out what the card Grapple and Traverse would be.
Grapple with the past and traverse the Ulvenwall?
Oh, no. I know what you meant. It's just I'm trying to figure out if you were to cram these two cards together somehow, what exactly would it do?
You would mill yourself for three and then go get a basic land and a creature?
You would play the board game Traverse with a grappling hook.
Oh, that's probably it.
Can I play it in Traverse City?
I mean, I'm not stopping you, dude. You're your own person.
That one goes out to everyone living in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan.
So you know who you are.
Yeah.
When you hold up your hand to show Michigan, where are they?
Kind of in the upper left by your ring finger.
Gotcha. I don't know which hand you hold up for Michigan, so.
Well, that's going to be a problem. Because that could really change your answer.
Yeah, I'll just look it up on Google Maps then. We're good. Anyway, so yeah, that's the Teamer Emerge deck. And then in eighth place, Jeff, oh lord, Fallinus?
Fallinus, I guess.
One of those is playing, Blue-Eyed Flash again. And that's your standard top eight.
Yep.
Let's see, if we keep going, there's more, white-red Road Rage, there's black-red Bwains. There's a Mardu, and then there's two more, and then another,
And that is your top 16.
I'm done with that now. That makes my throat hurt.
It works really well, though.
Oh. It does make you just speed right through the deck list.
You know, sometimes running jokes go really well in the show. I don't know how much we can milk this one for, but
it's going to be up to them to play more variety of decks if they don't like this.
We'll find out.
Because now I've got a week to come up with a sound for Band Aggro if they keep doing it.
So am I going to have to, like, set up a Foley studio here, get, like, a punching bag, and every time I want to say Band Aggro, I have to reach over and hit it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was thinking it might be neat if we could somehow make a Loxodon noise.
That was pitiful.
I mean, if you could do that reliably, go for it, but I don't know that
it also tickled a lot. Anyway. Oh, there's Traverse City. Okay. So apparently when you're holding up, you have to hold up your right hand facing you. That's Michigan. Okay.
Traverse City sounds like a city in DC Comics.
Actually, Traverse City, isn't that in Kingdom Hearts?
Traverse Town is in Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, I was close.
They like alliteration. Okay.
Anyway, let's go to Modern, where more people were playing Modern. It's 241 people playing Modern.
The stepchild of all formats.
Oh, Legacy's not my real dad.
Correct. Extended is. He's a deadbeat. So
wow.
Actually, no, he's sadly dead. But anyway, Kiki Cord won. Played by Jeff Hoagland. And look, it's Kiki Cord.
Sure is.
Is that a not terribly
G minor 7?
I don't do music. I don't know. I don't know what Kiki sounds like. No, wait, we already used that one.
Yeah, that was used
elsewhere. I think Kiki Jiki probably sounds like the Chipmunks.
Alvin, Simon, Theodore?
And Theodore, yeah.
Alvin! I think that is... That he's Alvin. Kiki Jiki is clearly Alvin because he's the only one whose name gets yelled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that whole Scarlet Letter thing going on.
There's a collective brutality, two collective brutalities in this deck. That's pretty cool.
Teamwork.
What?
Collective brutality.
Oh, okay.
Teamwork. It takes a village.
To brutally beat things.
That's why you're discarding anyway. Them, yeah.
Anyway, second place, Annalise Faustino is running green-red Tron.
Gertron.
Complete with two copies of the Ugin, because we have to point out the Ugin whenever he appears in the wild.
Correct, and a light cycle.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a Tron deck.
Oh, right, okay. I'm looking at cards going, I don't see anything that we could call that.
Sorry, it was a Tron joke.
My bad. I'm sorry. I was getting a little less meta. That's my problem.
My apologies.
Hey, Clues.
Yeah.
I bought a light-up umbrella.
You did?
Yeah.
We're going to go all Blade Runner up in here?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Wait, are you a replicant? Tell me about your mother.
If I find a turtle, I will totally turn it over, so...
Okay, anyway, third place.
That actually sounded dirty. Okay, yes, third place.
Oh, really? All the terrible things in Blade Runner, that's the one you think sounds dirty.
No. That you saying that sentence, that if you find a turtle, you'll totally turn it over, that sounded a little dirty.
That's kind of hot.
Did we actually want to say anything useful about Tron? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. I mean, it's a green-red Tron deck. There's really...
I just really enjoy the work of Bruce Boxleitner, so...
Wow.
Anyway, so third place, James Wallmacher is playing Ad Nauseam.
Yeah, we've heard about that before. It keeps going on and on at Ad Nauseam.
Built-in deck joke.
Yes!
Yep.
Score!
But this is the Modern Storm deck with Laboratory Maniac, as one win condition and Lightning Storm as the other.
Yep.
And then things like Phyrexian Unlife and Angel's Grace to keep you from, oops, I died.
Which is important because you totally will without them.
Oops.
It's very true.
I died.
He didn't save every one of us. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Fourth place, Tyler Nolan is playing Dredge.
Now with more Cathartic Reunion.
Yeah, which is probably the reason that this deck is so popular, which we'll get to that shortly. Fifth place, Orin, oh, he's got a cool name, Lagzeal? Lagzeal. Dude, you have a G and a Z in your name and they're right next to each other. That's like a multiplier.
That's like some Old Testament nonsense right there. And right? It's awesome.
But he is playing, it's a deck called Jeskai Nahiri, because he's running four Nahiri and one Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn, G-Fabs, Aeon's Torn with Nahiri.
That's fair.
You know, and I could believe that Jeskai is Nahiri's first name.
Or maybe Jeskai is a title.
Oh.
She is the Jeskai Nahiri.
Pretty sure her first name is Bitter.
Bitter Nahiri, yes. But anyway,
and her
that's
name
also
is
title.
You Stay in That Wall.
Anyway, it's a Jeskai control deck that's running Nahiri and Emrakul as the, you know, the big finisher. So, cool. Neato Mosquito.
Oh, she's running the new Fastland.
Oh, yeah?
The Spirebluff Canal?
Is that the new one? I don't actually know these cards yet. Yeah, okay.
What the what? Sorry, I was just looking at the art on a card in the next deck. We'll get to it in a minute.
Oh, well, we're there.
Awesome.
In real time.
A minute has passed.
So Ryan Lehman is running Modern Abzan because,
Abzan,
know, Modern.
Straight up.
So what art are you looking at?
Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I had never really looked at the art on that card, and I still am not sure that I have. So
it tends to do that. This is actually, this is like Podless Pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Eldritch Evolution gives you the two jumps up. As opposed to, what was the card that took the place of Pod? Oh, it was just Collected Company, wasn't it? Never mind.
Yeah,
whenever I look at the art of Eldritch Evolution, it kind of reminds me of a long time ago.
In
like
a
decade ago, when Chick-fil-A did a calendar where they did cow superheroes. I imagine this is like the cow version of Donatello.
A Chick-fil-A recently opened up in Lansing, and there were huge lines to get in.
I hope they weren't there on Sunday, because they don't know.
I was going to say, until Sunday, and then there weren't any lines. I couldn't figure it out.
It's the damnedest thing. Also, don't ever go to Chick-fil-A on Sunday. I mean, don't ever go to Chick-fil-A for lunch, because every Chick-fil-A I've ever been to, up and down the eastern freaking seaboard, is always totally slammed beyond all reason at lunch. And I don't understand, because Chick-fil-A is good, but it's not that good. Like when you have to sit in a drive-thru for half an hour, it's not worth it anymore. When there's a Wendy's next door, you can just in and out, you know?
You should never have to sit in a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A for half an hour, because they don't do custom orders. You're getting chicken.
Hey, some people, weird though they might be, don't like pickle.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
I agree. Anyway,
I used to be one of those people. Not anymore.
Well, I'm glad you got better.
So yeah, Ryan Lehman is playing this Podless Pod deck that's Abzan colored.
Yay, Kitchen Finks.
Yes. Also, Siege Rhino and Thrag Tusk. Oh god, they're back!
Siege Tusk!
Swag Rhino!
Okay, enough of that. Let's move on to 7th place, where Austin Hatfield is playing, believe it or not, Soul Sisters.
I like it.
Do you like it just because it's got a Legion Loyalist?
That is certainly part of it, but it's also Look Over in Spells, second one from the top.
Yes, there are four Lightning Bolts.
That is correct. That is how you start your deck, okay?
Oh,
starting
return
point,
of the ranks.
Four Lightning Bolts. Some other stuff.
So
you got a deck.
So let's look at this. It's running the Soul Warden and the Soul's Attendant. That's the Soul Sisters. Okay, we're good there, right?
Yep.
That makes sense.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
We've got such things as a Johnny's Pride Mate.
Uh huh.
So the Soul Warden and Soul's Attendant. When creatures enter the battlefield, you gain life, right?
Yep.
Okay, a Johnny's Pride Mate. When you gain life, you put a +1/+1 counter on him.
gets out of hand fast.
Very fast. Oh, there's also Ariok Champion. Excuse me, there's the third soul sister. I forget about her. So there's the three soul sisters. Champion of the Parish, when another human pops up under your control, you get a, he gets a +1/+1 counter. Okay. There's Legion Loyalist, who has the battalion ability to give your, all of your creatures when he attacks and two other creatures attack, because it's battalion. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's why I explained it. He gives those he gives all your creatures first strike and trample and can't be blocked by tokens.
That is a really, really good ability right there.
Yes. So you've got all of these. Oh, and there's Norrin the Wary, because Norrin the Wary jumps in and out of combat constantly, or in and out of the battlefield, so he's forever just gaining you life.
He's wary.
He is. But now, you've got Ranger of Eos, which is, oh crap, who is Ranger of Eos?
Like, whose invitational card was it?
Is it Rav Levy? Is that right?
It might have been.
Crap. Hang on, Ranger of Eos Invitational. This is killing me.
It's a really good card.
Antoine Rule. Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, wait. Raph Levy doesn't have a... Whoops. Now I feel that that's racist. Okay. Yeah, it's...
You know, you Antoine could... Rules. You could edit that.
I could, but I'm not gonna.
Nope.
It's important that you know he could. Invitational
card. Yeah, I totally could. And what he does is when he enters the battlefield, you search your library for two creature cards with converted mana cost one or less, which, guess what? Almost all of these cost one. The Ariok Champion, Ajani's Pride Mate, and Ranger of Eos don't. Everything else, except for this other one, do. This last one is Purphoros, God of the Forge.
Oh, that's when so you messed have up.
All of these creatures jumping in and out of the battlefield, Purphoros just shoots your opponent every time that happens. That so that's pretty funny.
You got Purphoros and Norrin the Wary.
Yep.
That's like...
In a real deck.
That's like Purphoros goes, boo, and he's like, ah! And on his way out, Norrin the Wary shocks someone. That'd be wait till he comes back. But the thing is, all these cards in here are like, great, sure, whatever, but there's two Return to the Ranks in the deck.
Yeah. And Return to the Ranks, in case you don't remember, because why wouldn't you? Cause X, white, white with Convoke, and you go return X target creature cards with converted mana cost two or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Yep. And also, just in case that's not enough, there are four copies of Genesis Chamber, which every time you get a creature, you also get a mirror. Actually, that happens for everyone, but you're taking way more advantage of it than everyone else is.
Man, I feel like there was recently a card, I want to say it was an enchantment, that if you sacrificed it, it blinked all your creatures.
Maybe?
Yeah, I feel like I want to abuse that with Purphoros.
I mean, there are lots of things you want to do with Purphoros. Most of them are probably too slow to survive in modern tournaments.
As someone who tried to build decks around Purphoros a lot, the biggest problem with Purphoros is that you're playing a 4-drop in red.
Yeah, good point. It's a trap!
Which is why this deck is so good. Because this deck, by the time you get to 4, you've probably gained, 6, 8, 10 life. And
yeah. I mean, well, Purphoros is your reach. Like, if things start falling apart, Purphoros is still there. You're not expecting Purphoros to just get up and go punch them, although it's a possibility. But by and large, I think so. Hold on.
I mean, you have to be running your Legion Loyalist. No, it's not.
No, it's not. You're right.
Yeah, you can't actually...
Because Norn's legendary, you're right.
I guess Blood Moon from the board? Yeah, no, he can't.
No, he can't do it, you're right.
Punch people.
Yeah, okay, well,
so,
that's
yeah,
fine.
He's just there as an enchantment that does really busted things.
I mean, it's not his job to actually do that, so. But yeah, Purphoros occasionally also gets to do the pump the whole team attacking thing, which gets significant too, when you have all these little guys lying around. But yeah, I mean, Purphoros is your ability to just continue on, and if you're not dying or board wiped, you will just kill them with, like, the play creature shocks and all of this stuff triggering off your Norrin the Wary's and all that nonsense. So it's neat.
Yeah. This actually looks like a blast. Hey, Lansdell, what did you think of this? Tweet at me. Or message me. Because I know he's a big proponent of Soul Sisters. Yeah. Anyway, so, 8th place... We have a Grixis Delver deck piloted by Ryan A coin? Gold coin? Ryan Gold coin.
That's a good
That's
name.
That's awesome.
That's a good name.
That is a good name. And this, yeah, it's, I mean, it's Grixis Delver, but in modern.
Yeah, so, that actually does appear to be the case.
Yeah, do with that what you will. Hey, you remember Thought Scour? It's running Thought Scour.
I don't remember. That's bad, right?
Ba-dum-tsh. And Zombie Fish, so he gets all the points.
Yep. Style.
And because Clues didn't point it out, there is, in fact, a young Peasy.
Yeah, I was going easy on the Peasy this week.
Parisi?
Parisi, yeah.
So that was the top eight. They're Black Red Eldrazi. What the hell is that?
Terrifying. Okay,
so it's Reality Smasher, Thought Not Seer, Wasteland Strangler, along with Hangerback Walker and Kalitas. And then lots of,
murder.
Black Red Control. Yeah, lots of disruption and removal. Wow, and Ratchet Bomb. Sick. Okay, yeah, that's terrifying. Moving on. Here's a Death Shadow aggro. Here's some burn.
Burn!
Look at the modern burn. Hey, Taylor Swift Spear, we used to talk about you all the time. Oh, now you barely come up.
Goblin Guide, Grim Lavamancer, Taylor Swift, Eidolon. Oh, I'm loving this so much.
This is how they get clues to move into modern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's already got all these cards. Why not?
I pretty much do. I might not actually have four Atarkas Command, but...
But Snow-Covered Mountain!
Yeah, I do have a Snow-Covered Mountain or two.
I have a bunch of those. Well, those will be important in a minute once we get to the next tournament.
Gutshot.
There's a Bant Eldrazi, another Dredge. Here's an Infect all the way down in 14th.
Mm.
We're more on that in a minute. And then there's a Merfolk in 15th.
Nope.
I keep forgetting that Merfolk is a thing in Modern.
Good.
Dude, it's blue aggro. It's like the closest to goblins.
It should not exist.
But it's got your diving buddy in it.
Yeah.
It does.
I gotta be honest. If I had to play blue, it would be Merfolk. I do have Legacy Merfolk built.
See?
Yeah, I just can't bring myself to play it anymore because I ought to put, you know, that card in it, and I don't want to.
Wait, which one?
You don't have to in Modern.
Yeah, I don't have to in Modern.
Yay! Okay, then. So that's Baltimore, right.
Ta-da!
Let's move on to the GP, because Grand Prix Dallas-Fort Worth, because they're the same place, right?
The Grand Prix and the Dallas-Fort Worth? Yeah, I think so.
I mean, not really. Why is it always Dallas-Fort Worth? Are they that close together? They don't appear to be... That close. Well, yeah, okay, I guess. As far as Texas is concerned,
say,
that is pretty close.
Yeah, as far as Texas is concerned.
Yeah.
You can die for like 10 hours in Texas and still be in Texas.
It's probably longer.
Yeah.
But yeah. I know that people in Texas hate it when someone from, let's say, New England says it's just one state over. That's a 2-day trip, man. Anyway, so Dallas-Fort Worth. Was won by Kevin Mackey. Have you ever heard of Kevin Mackey? No, you have not. Because this is apparently his, second Grand Prix?
It's a good way to do it.
I'm pretty sure that's right. No, maybe not. I see the word GPs. I don't know where I seemed like I heard that somewhere, but I could be wrong. Let's go to the top five moments. I bet that's got something on it.
Previous Magic accomplishments before this Grand Prix. F&M Grinder, Few Opens, GPs, etc. Game Day Grinder. I didn't know you could grind Game Day.
Okay, so apparently that was misinformation, or I'm hearing something incorrectly, or something. So yeah. But anyway, Kevin Mackey was playing a deck that, well, he referred to as a joke. But it turns out that it was so well positioned in the meta that he just took it all down. And it is Scred Red. And for those of you that aren't old school, I will give you a minute to scratch your heads, huh? So Scred is a card from Cold Snap for a single red that deals damage to target creature equal to the number of snow permanents you control.
That is devastating.
Again, for those of you who aren't around, who aren't that old and weren't around back then, snow permanents were technically introduced in Ice Age with the Snow-Covered Lands and then expanded on in Cold Snap. But he's running 20 snow-covered mountains and 2 scrying sheets, which is in itself a snowland that looks at the top card of your library. And if it's snow, you can reveal it and put it into your hand. So he can... Is this a land? Yes. And it goes in his hand, which is pretty insane in a red deck.
Yeah.
Because what do you want to do in red decks? Draw cards. But that's not it. This deck is a trip. So it's running the 4 Scred, of course. It's running 4 Lightning Bolt because red. And there was nothing from Clues on that.
No. I'm just marveling at this thing of beauty before us.
Hey, Clues.
Yeah.
What happens if you have snow-covered mountains and the Blood Moon in play?
Nothing. Snow-covered mountains are basic.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Which is it why you can run 3 Blood Moon in your main. And it doesn't affect you at all. Your scrying sheets get a little worse, but your opponent's deck doesn't work.
Is it?
Yeah, it turns off your scrying sheets, but they're still snowlands.
They still are. Is it sad that I really want to use Scred and Snow-Covered Mountains with a stuffy doll?
No,
does that make me a bad person?
Thing. No, not at all.
I mean, you can still also hit them for 13 damage like a meteor, right?
Anyway, so back to the spells. He's running 1 Magma Jet for consistency, let's say. That's the one that's a shock with Scry, too. It's insane. He's running 3 Anger of the Gods, because when you want a sweeper, that's a pretty good one. Oh, let's jump over to Artifacts. He's got a Pyrite Spell Bomb. I'm guessing because it says draw a card, and it gets around protection from red sideboard stuff. I'm guessing that came up at some point, maybe.
It's possible.
I don't see any way to, like, recur it. So I'm guessing the main reason is there's to draw a card. Or that last bit of burn that you need.
It's something that 4. You can sack to Pia and Kieran Nalar. Which is kind of funny because it already does 2 damage when you sack it, but it lets them do it too.
Yeah. He's running 4 main deck Relic of Progenitus, which is sack because Dredge has been a thing that is growing in popularity in Modern since, Eldritch Moon?
That sounds about right.
He's also running 4 Mind Stone because Mind Stone says add mana and draw a card, and of course Pia and Karen Nalar can throw it. He's also got Batterskull because screw you, that's why.
They're probably not going to throw that, but in a pinch, I guess they could. More likely, they will equip it and destroy you.
More likely. As far as creatures, he does have 3 Pia and Kieran Nalar, 3 Stormbreath Dragon. Remember that card? You should.
It's terrifying.
And 2 copies of Eternal Scourge, which is a 3-mana 3/3 Eldrazi Horror. When it becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, you exile it. Which sounds terrible, but then you can cast it from exile. So it just doesn't die. It's always there beating on your opponent. Unless they just kill it. In which case you play the other one, I guess. And then my favorite part. Well, of course, there are the main deck Blood Moons, of course. But my favorite part is the 1 Chandra Torch of Defiance. And my really favorite part are the 4 copies of Koth of the Hammer.
You remember that guy?
Oh my god, I love that guy.
Koth of the Hammer Pants is terrifying in a deck like this one.
Yeah, this is Mono Red Control. And it is a beautiful, beautiful example of it.
What's that, Koth? That's... We need mana? Thanks, Koth. What's that, Koth? They have a face and it's not getting hit this turn? Thanks, Koth.
Koth also untaps that mountain.
Yeah.
So he's also ramp if you really need it.
He untaps mountain.
Tap it for mana. You untap it with Koth. It becomes a 4/4, but you just tap it again.
Yeah.
Do you really need to make your Stormbreath Dragon monstrous this turn, but you're just one short? You're not, actually.
Yeah, and likewise, there's just the old add red to your pool for each mountain you control. But all these lands are mountains. Huh.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
That it is.
So, yeah, there you go. He was well-positioned in the meta where Dredge is becoming more popular with the main deck relics. And the deck is just hardy, let's say.
Resilient.
That's a better word, I think. It's also got the Rabble Masters in the board in case you would rather
rabble
be dropping lots of dudes and punching your opponent in the face.
Hey, Clues.
Yes?
There are two ricochet traps. That's about right.
Yeah.
Seems good. Ricochet trap, by the way, is a red, is it misdirection? Redirect? I don't know the name of the freaking card. But it changes the target of target spell with a single target. And if they cast a blue spell this turn, then it only costs a single red because it's a trap.
Yeah, it's pretty good for that.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. So Kevin Mackey, you're awesome. Good on you, sir.
Good job.
Yes. So in second place, as much as I hate to move away from that thing of beauty, we have to move on. Corey Burkhart is playing Grixis Control. And I stared at this deck for a couple seconds before I went, what? Because he's running lots of card draw, Ancestral Vision and Serum Visions, lots of counter magic and murder and card draw and burn and disruption, just Counter Squall, Cryptic Command, Kolaghan's Command, remember that card? Lightning Bolt, Spell Snare, remember that card? Terminate, Thought Scour, you remember that card? So if you're running Thought Scour, then that means, yep, there's Snapcaster Mage. And he's also running Engineered Explosives. And I stared at this deck for all going, how do you win? Oh, wait, he's got three Tassigar and he's got two Creeping Tar Pits. Right.
When your opponent has nothing, they can't block.
And even if they have something, you just kill it.
Yeah, you make them have nothing.
Yeah.
You have so many more cards than they do.
Yeah. So that's a thing. There's even two Sun Droplets.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
In the sideboard, which, what?
I don't blame me for not remembering.
I mean, I remember it. I just don't get it. Seems like they printed a better version of Sun Droplet at some point after that, but maybe not. I don't remember. But there you go. I guess that's for getting yourself back out of the hole that aggro leaves you in at first. Maybe?
I guess.
I'm not sure. But anyway, there you go. Grixis Control. In third place, Mike May?
I think it's Mike May.
Is that May? We'll go with May.
I would assume.
It is running Infect. So this one is running one Dryad Arbor, four Gitaxian Probes, and that's it there. Two Rancors, there's the tech. Two Rancors, two Apostles' Blessing, and two Spell Pierce. Okay? Important, remember those. Those are like the flex slots. Rancor, Apostles' Blessing, Spell Pierce, right? Okay. So let's move on. Fourth place, Alex Midas is running Jeskai Control. Hey look, there's a Johnny Vengeant. You remember that card? Oh my god, I love that guy.
You mean the OG Boros?
Planeswalker?
Yeah, I was going to say something else. I'm like, wait, there's no swearing on Monday Night Match.
No, there is not.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
He's also got that super sweet Torrential Gear Hulk there, the Fat Caster Mage. No Snappies, though. Oh, wait, no, there's three Snappies and one Gear Hulk. Excuse me, I scrolled down. So it's like the fourth copy of Snapcaster drank his milk, got real big, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And then the rest is just burn, counterspells, burn, counterspells. Oh, it's Sphinx's Revelation. Remember that card?
Yep.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course not. Think twice, Clues. There's three of those, too.
Still have no idea what you're talking about.
So, yeah, that's pretty neat. Got all of that there. Hey, look. In fifth place, we have the reigning world champion, Brian Bronduin. He's running Dredge.
Oh, that's almost like Magic.
Well, I mean, it's modern Dredge, so it's closer to Magic.
That's true, yeah.
Manalist Dredge. It's still not quite Magic, but
it's Magic. It's just not Magic the Gathering. I get
it. It's a kind of Magic.
Nice.
Wow.
Hey, that was a good album. Anyway, yeah, so it's got the Insolent Neonates and the Prized Amalgams and the Scourge Devil and the Cathartic Reunion as the super sweet new stuff that we have seen in the last, like 6-8 months. Also, the one Shriekhorn, you know, because.
I know you said Shriekhorn, but I heard Treecorn. And I'm like, what's a Treecorn? I bet that's a card.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, if I remember correctly, BBD actually lost to, yep, Kevin Mackey. Because four main deck relics.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure how he tries to beat that, and he doesn't, it turns out. So there you go. In sixth place, Nicholas D'Ambrose is running Infect. Now this one, in its flex slots, has Distortion Strike, which is the one that gives something plus one unblockable that has Rebound. Remember that card? One Spell Pierce. And I think Blossoming Defense is the other... Yeah, Blossoming Defense is the other tech spot.
Twisted Image, though.
Yeah, Twisted Image is in a bunch of these.
Yeah, it's just weird every time I see it.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure why. I guess draw a card, mainly.
Well, sometimes you can use it to take care of annoying wall-type things. But running it in the main is confusing.
It is offensive as well, isn't it?
Like, I remember it used to be the way you killed Spellskite.
Well, yeah.
But running that in the main's kind of weird.
But all three of these decks are running it, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's another one, by the way. Okay, let's recap. Third place is running Rancor, Apostle's Blessing, Spell Pierce. K. That was Mike May. Nicholas D'Ambrose is running Distortion Strike, One Spell Pierce, and Blossoming Defense. K. You got those? Right. Seventh place, Zach Voss is running the Titan Shift deck, which is that Through the Breach Summoner's Pact Primeval Titan Valakut deck. He does have one Scape Shift, which other versions of this deck haven't had. So, yeah, he's got I win button in there along with the longer, slower version. Okay.
See?
And then in eighth place, Phil Napoli is running Infect. And in his flex slots, he's got the Distortion Strike, one Apostle's Blessing, and the Blossoming Defense. Oh, and the Dryad Arbor. Right. So, yeah. There you go. Lots of Infect. Three of them, in fact. And just the top eight. Yay! So if we move past the top eight, there's a Jund in ninth. With lots of Jundi cards and Chandra Torch of Defiance. Hey, girl. More Infect. Ooh, this one's running Wild Defiance in one of its flex slots. Nice! I say flex slot because these decks are all exactly the same except for four or five tech choices or personal preference or whatever, but that's just what I discovered. In 11th, Daniel Hall is running Bant Eldrazi. Daniel Hall? Do I know you? Are you that Daniel Hall, or is this a different one? Let me know, because if so, good on you. And if not, well, then it wasn't you, so never mind. Hey, buddy. Here's a black-green... Look at this 12th place day. It's called Black-Green Midrange. It's Redless Jund.
Yeah. Like, you say that sarcastically, but you're not. Like...
No, I'm being dead serious. They took the Jund deck, and they just said, you know what? If we cut out the red... And we could put in this other cool stuff. It's running Courser of Crufix, for God's sake. What?
Man, that card was good.
Yeah.
It was. It's just weird.
Well, I mean, it's a 2/4 that gets you extra lands and gains you extra life. So, I mean, it seems like a fine choice. It's just in a deck that's not abusing it necessarily.
Yeah.
So it feels weird. Bant Nightfall. What is that? Oh, that's the Knight of the Reliquary Collected Company... Bant deck. Okay, right. Oh, with Retreat to Coral Helm. Yeah, that one. Okay, remember now. Here's a red-green Tron. Yup. Jeskai Delver. Monastery Mentor. Ah! The Scourge of Vintage. It's good in Vintage, must need to be banned in Modern, right?
Eh, sometimes.
Is that how that works? No?
Okay. Probably still fine in Standard. If it were still here.
There's a Naya Burn deck. Here's the one I want to talk about. 17th place. Ryuichi Tamada's Thing Ascension deck. Look at this. It's got four Thing in the Ice, Pyromancer Ascension, and then just all the spells.
Wait, how many of the spells?
All of them.
That is a lot.
In fact, it's 34 of the spells.
That's a lot.
We've got card draw, we've got card draw, we've got card draw, we've got card draw, we've got milling and card draw, which is good for the Pyromancer Ascension. Ooh, we've got Manamorphose, which is card draw and mana fixing. And then we've got Lightning Bolt, Lightning Helix. and Thing in the Ice. The Ascension, by the way, in case you're not aware, when you cast an instant or sorcery spell that has the same name as a card in your graveyard, it gets a quest counter, because it's an enchantment. Now, if it has two or more quest counters, and you cast an instant or sorcery, then you get another copy of that instant or sorcery, and you can choose new copies, or new targets.
Which is why nearly all the cards in this deck are three or four copies.
Yep. And you've got things like Thought Scour and Faithless Looting to just throw things in the graveyard anyway.
Yeah, you get to set it up. You're not just waiting for yourself to cast two cards before you can use it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And then right below that, in 18th, Matt Sperling is running Lantern Control because Matt Sperling does not like lunch. Yeah, that deck. Hey, look, there's Pyxis of Pandemonium.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that one just makes me giggle every time I see it. So, yeah. Is there anything else that's neat? Here's a Teamer Prowess deck in 21st, and the auto card that is sitting there looking at me is Bedlam Reveler. Oh my god, it's Bedlam Reveler, Kiln Fiend, Taylor Swift Spear, Thing in the Ice. That's awesome. What is it running? Card draw, okay. Blossoming Defense, Lightning Bolt, Manamorphose, card draw, Mutagenic Growth, Teamer Battle Rage. Wow, it does one thing and does it really, really well.
Hit people?
It's good enough for... Yeah, pretty much. It's good enough for top 32 at a GP. How many people were here?
At the GP?
2019.
Yeah.
The largest Grand Prix in Texas history, according to our handy-dandy show notes.
That is accurate, because I put it there.
And Bill is never wrong. And if he is...
Don't tell him. He doesn't want to know.
Wrong.
Nah, you should tell me if I'm wrong.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Yeah.
Look at 22nd place.
22nd, you say?
Do you see something wrong with that? It's Mike Sigrist's deck.
Yeah?
Do you see the problem I'm seeing?
You mean the fact that it's not that deck?
Yeah, it says that he's playing Infect, and this is not Infect in the slightest.
This is an unconventional Infect build.
Yeah, it's so unconventional.
It's like the version of Infect that Clues got to and took out all the Infect.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But no, it's a
Death Shadow.
Yeah, it's a Death Shadow aggro deck. I'm guessing whoever was writing this out looked at Become Immense, Mutagenic Growth, and Teamer Battle Rage and just wrote Infect and moved on.
Yeah.
Neat. Oh, look, there's Jund. Remember Jund? Hey, Jund, what's up? And it's even got red in it. Wow. What is Platinum Ponza? What? Oh, my God. It's the Platinum Empyrean deck with Madcap Experiment. Yeah, that one. You guys remember that one?
Madcap Experiment? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's Platinum Empyrean, so your life total can't change, so you don't, you know, take the damage.
Yeah, it's not a cost.
Yeah. Is that just all this deck is doing? Does it just play Madcap Experiment until it hits Platinum Empyrean? But how does it? Okay. Okay. Let me just read. So there's Arbor Elf. All right. Birds of Paradise. Well, I mean that's it there. There's Utopia Sprawl as well. Then there's Blood Moons because, you know, reasons. Beast Within. Okay. Madcap Experiment. Bonfire of the Damned. The Mwanvuli Acid Moss, Stone Rain, and then Inferno Titan, Scavenging Ooze, Thrag Tusk, and the Platinum Empyrean. Oh, and there's a Kessig Wolf Run, you know, in case your Blood Moon didn't show up yet.
Yeah, and the Empyrean is obviously the only artifact in the deck.
Yeah, so it's Land Destruction because it's got the Acid Moss and Stone Rain and Beast Within, and it ramps into the Experiment or... Inferno Titan, Thrag Tusk, whatever. Huh. This is a trip. Again, it does, well, I guess two things and does them really well.
Yeah, I mean, plan A is turn four, I become indestructible.
Actually, it might be like turn two, become indestructible.
Yeah. But like, you know, like...
it probably takes
three. Madcap is plan A. Plan B is, oh, I have all this other stuff. And by the way, four main deck Blood Moon. Wreck your day.
Oh, yeah, the Blood Moon is also Land Destruction, isn't it? Of a sort.
In a way.
Buh. That's vaguely hilarious. Hey, look, Merfolk.
Fish.
Here's another Death Shadow deck. Mardu Nahiri. That's not Jeskai Nahiri. Oh, that throws Liliana and Chandra in with Nahiri and Imrakul. Oh. And then everything else is just murder. Oh my god. Anger of the Gods, Painful Truths, Thought Seize, Inquisition, Lingering Souls, Damnation, Lightning Helix, Lightning Bolt, Path to Exile, Blessed Alliance.
This is like Gotham City Sirens if we're going to keep going with the superhero, supervillain naming for Planeswalker decks.
Wow. Oh, here's another Madcap deck. This one's totally different. Dylan Feeman is running in 30th. Chandra Flamecaller, Madcap Experiment, and the Platinum Empyrean. Snapcaster, Vindiclick, Roast, Serum Visions, and then just removal and counters. Cryptic Command, Electrolyze, Harvest Pyre. Is it Charm? Yes, it is. Lightning Bolt, Mana Leak, Remand, Spell Snare, and four main deck Blood Moon. Wow. So this one is get out your Empyrean and then protect it, clear the way, and play Chandra Flamecaller and protect it. And just beat on your opponent with three ones and 8/8s.
Yeah.
Seems good. I mean, yeah, seems good.
Seems valid to me. And then with a Snapcaster Mage, if you feel like it, I'm sure you've got him out.
Nice.
This deck knows what wants to do.
And then nothing else really of note in the top 30, the rest of the top 32. So there you go. Modern has all kinds of stuff running around with Madcap Experiments and Infect decks that aren't, and Teamer Prowess.
And Shenanigans and Goings-Ons.
And, yeah, Things and Lanterns and other things and Nightfalls and Courser of Crucifix.
Mm. Yeah.
Seems good. I like it. I like it a lot. Keeps Modern from getting bored.
Fix this up. Pandemonium.
Yay!
And a deck with Inventor's Fair, because why not?
All right, then. So that's the tournaments. That's awesome. I enjoyed that. There's a bit of news where Trick Jarrett, you know, he works at Wizards. He tweeted out where we are with the Community Cup. And the Community Cup is not, because they sort of forgot about it.
Is that the actual reason?
It says the calendar ran out on us and the Community Cup this year. Sorry, folks. Too much to do and not enough time.
I mean, admittedly, they had a lot of preview weeks to add.
Yeah, ain't that the damn truth. Reading on, he says, I'm hoping to do it early next year, but moving to next year adds own complications. Don't have a firm time window. As I've said before, we did a lot of community events this year. PAX Ambassadors, CSL, Streamer Showdowns, Pre-Prees, which just sounds painful, etc. Doing all those things, combined with where Magic is for coverage, has changed the landscape of what the Community Cup needs to do, and we struggled to find its home in this landscape. We missed this year, but that doesn't mean it is dead. Sorry it didn't happen, but the calendar just got away from us. Which means, yeah, they were doing so much other stuff, they sort of forgot to do the Community Cup. But considering last year the Community Cup had nothing to do with the community choice, it was just, let's pick out some of our friends and bring them over and have a big thing.
And then hire some of them.
It's not really... Yeah, and then hire some of them. It's not really a great loss if it's just a giant, like, WotC PR stunt and there's the community has no say in the matter. So, whatever. But at least they have all this other stuff to take its place, you know? Yeah. But that happened, so that's the thing. So, you know, we had to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few other things going on. There's actually a pretty interesting article in the latest developments, and there's always a latest developments article in our show notes, and we invariably delete it because it's not something that we feel is, you know, worth talking about. But I think this one actually is. It's on Strictly Better.
You'll hear that phrase a lot.
It's a phrase that people throw out a lot, and it's moved on to other card games. I hear it in Hearthstone a lot now. Well, this card is just Strictly Better. Shut up. And it's explaining why they print cards that are quote unquote strictly better. And he even gives the example of Throttle, the instant for 5 mana that gives target creature -4/-4. And then 6 months later, there was Flatten, the instant for 4 mana that gives -4/-4. And then a year later was Grasp of Darkness for 2 mana that gives -4/-4.
Immediately a pick your 2 mana, but still three different cards that do the same thing.
Yeah, for 3 different costs. And essentially, it's because limited. I mean, if you want to be honest with yourself, it's because limited. They can't have a 2-mana -4/-4 in some sets, and in some sets they desperately need a 2-mana -4/-4 spell. Although that one, they said, was printed more for, with standard in mind because of the big, four toughness things like, Archangel Avacyn and, Dragonlord Ojutai. But still.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the bulk of the cards in your pack are for limited anyway. So, you shouldn't be that surprised by this.
Yeah, but he goes into much more detail about why they do this and the reasons they do this and how they try not to do this and blah, 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 blah. So if this is a thing that interests you, and if you're someone who thinks about Magic more than just play cards, play cards, play cards, this is really a thing you should read. It's very informative and will help you understand that not all cards are made for just you. Cards have to exist in the sets that they're in and have to work within the sets they're in, et cetera, et cetera. So go read it. Link's in the show notes. It's pretty neat. Right, guys?
Right.
Yeah. Also, he does point out at the beginning that Strictly Better is not a new thing. In Alpha, there was Grey Ogre, which was a 2-2 for 3 in red. And there was also the Uthdin Troll, which was a 2-2 for 3 in red that regenerated. So it's not like this is a new thing that has popped up in recent years. What else? The Art of Amonkhet book has been announced. You know, they do the art book for upcoming blocks.
Yeah, whenever we get a new block.
Yeah, and this one comes out in July of next year, and it's $40, the usual. So, there you go. Yay, so 2 months after Amonkhet comes out, we'll remind you when we, hey, remember that? It came out, like we have for the last
And we're certain it will be very pretty.
Almost certainly. Is that everything? I think that's everything that's worth talking about. I guess the Planeswalker's Guide to Kaladesh came out in Magic Story last week, if that's a thing that interests you. It's actually one of the few Magic Stories that I actually read or have a better chance of reading. And it just highlights the world and what's going on and who's there. And it even points out the, what are they called? The Story Spotlight cards, is that? Yeah.
I think that's the terms they use for it.
Yeah. So it's a nice overview of the world now that we've been here for a couple months and we're going to be here for a few more. So if that sounds interesting to you and you didn't see it already, link is in the show notes.
Hoorah!
Yay! So, Magic Online?
Yeah, I guess we can talk about that. So yeah, as usual, Magic Online news mostly pops up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We record on Mondays. If you want to stay current with Magic Online news, you should really just go to the Wizards website. You go to Products and then Magic Online in the drop menu. That'll show you whatever's going on. So hitting you with some of the highlights from last week's news. Really most of the stuff's about online tournaments that have either already happened or things that I've mentioned in the past. So I'm going to skip to the more interesting stuff. There is a banned and restricted list update for online Pauper.
Yep.
There sure was.
Isn't that weird?
And it's a card that I'm surprised took this long to get banned.
Yeah, so the card is Peregrine Drake, which is 4 and a blue, 2/3 flying. That's not so bad. When it enters the battlefield, untap up to 5 lands. Wait, what? Did that just become free? Best case scenario, yes.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, yes. So yeah, this card is really busted in Pauper.
And it was never a thing in Pauper until it was reprinted in one of the... I forget which
Eternal Masters?
Was it Eternal Masters?
Pretty sure. Okay. Yeah, so...
It was Eternal Masters. Because it was an uncommon in Urza Saga, and Eternal Masters reprinted it as a common. But how long has Eternal Masters been available online, and what took so
long? Not very.
Like, you'd think this would...
Eternal Masters...
Oh, is it not very?
Yeah, not very.
It came
in a little bit later. Because, remember, Eternal Masters is special for Magic Online. And a lot of the cards that popped up in those things were brought in by way of... the prize pack stuff too. So.
Oh, was this one of the treasure chest cards?
I think so.
Ah.
I mean, I could be mixing. I know that that's how they brought in the conspiracy cards and the commander cards. I think they had a limited run of Eternal Masters online as a non-redeeming set, but I'm already starting to get mixed up because I've had so many products this year, and I could go look it up.
Internal Masters, but... I'll look it up. MTGO.
Alright. So...
was released... Magic On... No. Where'd it go? Magic Online... June 17th will be available until July 6th.
Right, so it just had like a 3-week lifespan or something.
So it still took them almost, well, it took them like three and a half months to kill it in Pauper.
Right, so if you're not familiar with the Pauper format, the whole idea of it is let's play Magic, but only with commons. And so normally the theory is that this is a very low-cost, easy-to-get-into format of cards that are all relatively low power. And the rule, though, is that if a card has ever been printed at common, it is fair game. And when Eternal Masters, as well as the other Masters sets, come out, in order to fill in a Masters set, they will take cards that have never been commons and print them at common just to make that limited environment exist. And that means that when a new Masters format comes out, Pauper suddenly gets an influx of cards that are probably a little more powerful than it's used to on average. And in this case, Peregrine Drake is one of them. And it's not appropriate, essentially, for the format that it's come into. So they've changed that. Given R&D's desire to make this change, they were able to implement in Magic Online with the November 16 downtimes. So rather than forcing players to play less fun format until 8th of Revolt. So essentially, they're doing this early. Normally, they would wait till a new set comes out or whatever. Now they're like, nah, that's stupid. Let's just do it now. Remember this mindset of, nah, that's stupid, let's just do it now for the next time when they don't. But hey, that's cool. And so in the meantime, you can jump back into Magic Online and enjoy Pauper Leagues and all that stuff. But that's kind of the main newsy thing going on in Modo. As I mentioned last week, the Year of Modern Flashbacks are currently in Dark Ascension, Innistrad, but... instead of going directly on to Avacyn Restored this week, they're taking a detour back to Magic 2012. So they had to skip it earlier, presumably so that they could fit in Innistrad over Halloween, which is fine. So now that they're wandering back a little bit to Magic 2012, you get a limited format where they had a lot of the more interesting experimental things. So like this is the when they finally brought out Gideon Jura into the recurring Planeswalker world. Same with Sorin, so they were pulled in there. And on top of that, they put in a cycle of mages that each had like a neat activated ability based on their colors. And they had this weird cycle of three artifacts that were the Empire cycle, where you could kind of build a neat little combo for yourself if you put all three of them together. There's a bunch of stuff going on in it. It's a neat format. If I recall correctly, this is also the one that brought back, was it Bloodlust? Bloodthirst, yeah. Bloodthirst. Yeah, so it had Bloodthirst. And it's also the one that added the word dies, I think. Not that it matters much online, but I think that was a noteworthy thing. Was that it? Oh, it was when they introduced Hexproof. I looked it up.
Oh, that's okay. What it was. Right.
It did both. So it introduced the word dies, which was nice, because for a long time they wouldn't use that. And it introduced Hexproof. So... what was once referred to as Troll Shroud became Hexproof. So that's a little bit of random magic history for you.
It was never officially called Troll
Shroud. No, it's just something that we referred to as Troll Shroud. And I think a lot of other people did too, but it was never official. But yeah, it's another chance to go out there and get those totally fair in all formats Titan cards because they're reprinted in that set. And if you want to play some... fairly simple core set magic. This is a fun one to do it in. As I recall, it wasn't super busted. So you can check that out. And then, you know, a week after that, we'll move on to Avacyn Restored, and we'll talk about that in more detail next week. So.
Yay, Soul Bond.
Yeah.
Soul Bond?
Soul Bond.
Yeah, that's right.
The mechanic that doesn't even do what it says. Driving judges crazy. We'll let Clues have that rant if he feels the energy next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, finally, there's one neat thing that snuck in here that I missed until right now. You guys remember how Modern Masters 2015 was disappointing?
Yes.
You remember how awesome Original Modern Masters was?
Yes.
Moderately.
Well, Original Modern Masters is going to be a Phantom Draft League for the week of November 9th to 16th. So if you would like to play the original one, it's Phantom, so you don't get to keep the cards, but it was a really solid draft format. And so I guess this is your alternative if you want to have something else to do that week than play Magic 2012. Check that out. It's kind of neat. You can find the details on it in the link to the weekly announcements. So, cool. And that's pretty much all that's going on in Modo at the moment. It tends to just calm down when there isn't a set immediately coming out. Awesome.
Word. All right, then. So I guess we are done.
Yeah, we can start the wrap-up stuff. So before the show started, I told Clues that I would be giving him something in my little sign-out time that'll make him feel good. Are you ready, Clues?
I'm waiting.
All right, I want you to look at the link I've just pasted into the chat.
Oh, I was going to paste that to you after the show was over.
Oh, awesome. Okay, then we're on the same page. So for the people playing along at home, Young Justice was finally given a season 3. It is in production. It's not just rumored. It's happening.
Also, during the show, listener and patron, hey buddy, Kim Ho actually tweeted something similar at me. He's like, I'll safely assume that you've seen this, but because we're recording, I didn't want to click on a video. And I was like, I have no idea what that is. He's like, season 3. And I was like, what?
Okay, cool. So all of us have independently discovered this wonderful thing. Well,
yes.
Yeah. If you have not seen Young Justice, what's wrong with you? Go watch Young Justice.
It's on Netflix.
It's really good. And now that you know there's going to be more, you don't have to go through the horrible stage of loss that we did.
Yeah, and that means I need to finish season
3. Yeah, probably. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Hang on. I'm going to go.
I'm going to go finish it right now.
No, I'm going to go to Just Watch and see. It is available for streaming on Netflix. You can buy it in any number of other places, but you can totally stream it on Netflix only, it appears.
Well, that is still awesome. You should totally go watch that if you haven't yet. It's a good show. And
it really
is. You will not regret watching it. It's great. I can't give it enough praise. That said, I guess while I'm on that subject, I like Doctor Strange. I won't spoil anything for anyone, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Agreed.
I will probably be watching it a second time in 3D, which is saying something because I hate 3D movies.
With the popcorn is popping up in the face.
And before you know it, you got the ball on the paddle because it's a lazy redo. Yep, that's what it is. But in this case, it looks amazing in 2D, and I get the feeling that I was missing out on an entire dimension of Strange. So that's going to be one of those things that I'll probably try to check out within the next week or so. So having said that nice non-spoilery thing, you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because the I in Goblin was too busy getting buried under all of the ridiculous numbers of likes and retweets that I got out of making a dumb joke this morning. So I made a comment on Twitter that if anyone ever actually does make an All Legends Have Partner version of EDH or Commander, we could just call it Double Dragon. And apparently me making a video game reference and a Commander reference means that I get more retweets and likes than I get out of actual quality statements. So I'll go with it. It's fun. It's neat. But yeah, that's the kind of nonsense you can get out of me once in a while if you follow me on Twitter. So if that sounds like the nonsense you want to be party to, go ahead and follow me. It'll be fun. And past that, if you're going to North Carolina Comic Con in Durham this coming weekend, I'll be there at some random points during the weekend. I have a lot of people that I'm friends with attending and running stuff there. So I'll probably be dropping in Friday and maybe Saturday night to check it out. It's Durham. I'm very close by. I'll be around. If you're going to go, let me know and I'll try to go when you're there.
Yeah.
Past that, I'll hand things over to Clues.
I thought the NC Comic Con was in Charlotte. Is that a different
Heroes Con's in Charlotte?
That's the one. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, North Carolina Comic Con is also a name that's very similar to whatever the comic convention that happens in Raleigh as part of another bigger organization that brings a bunch of celebrities in to charge you a bunch of money for autographs at that. Comic Con is a sufficiently generic phrase that it gets confusing. But yeah, the one that's this weekend is going to be in Durham, and it'll probably be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there to hang out with my friends. There are going to be some people doing cosplay stuff. There are going to be people. I think I haven't checked yet, but I think they're doing more superhero movies in the Carolina Theater as part of the event. I know in the past they did that, and that was pretty cool. And in general, you know, it's a fun, nerdy way to spend a weekend. So check that out if you're local. And then while you're there, yeah. I guess go to Atomic Empire, because that makes Clues happy.
It is a great shop. You should check it out.
All right, now Clues. You got to tell me about the sky thing.
Yeah, okay. So I was going to ask, what's my function on this show?
Conjunction.
I was going to say to be curmudgeonly, but I'm also here to let you know how the sky's doing.
Yeah, how is the sky doing? I need to check in on that. Like, I went outside today, and it was dark like an hour earlier than it was a few days ago.
Yeah, hey, Chewie, how do you feel about editing the show?
Yeah, I can do that for you.
You promise? Okay, yeah. Daylight savings time.
Oh man, you guys didn't hear it because it was edited, but it was great. That was like some quality odds and ends stuff right there.
Hate it so much. Oh my god. Yeah, so we just engaged in the abomination that was daylight saving time. So
I think we just disengaged with it, Clues.
All of the everything with your clocks is all screwed. You just gave yourself jet lag for absolutely no good reason. I want you to know that, okay?
I didn't even get to fly on.
To think that I just lost jet lag that I've been living under for half a year.
Don't let them do it to you any longer. It must stop. It's madness. Speaking of madness and being doomed, hey, about that sky, so a couple of days ago, there was a thing called a coronal mass ejection on the sun. Well, off the sun, really. So periodically, the sun throws material off constantly, but every now and then it'll just throw off a big chunk of stuff. And the big, when I say big chunk of stuff, I mean ballpark like 1.5 billion tons worth of mass just thrown off.
Isn't the technical term for that a poop load?
It is, in fact, we're not going to make Chewie edit some more load.
Like an astronomical poop load?
Yes, it is, in fact, an astronomical poop load. This material.
I just wanted you to say that. I'm taking that recording for myself.
this material is basically a big old stream of charged particles that careens through the cosmos. And as long as it's not pointed at Earth, everything's fine. It was pointed at Earth.
But I wanted everything to be fine.
More to the point. Well, too late. Election day's tomorrow. It was more to the point, pointed where Earth will be, so it's coming right for us, is the point.
Wait, no, you mean to tell me it didn't aim where we were, but it aimed where we will be?
Yeah, it led the target.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like it knew.
That's so smart.
It's like it knew. Now, these sorts of things happen.
Preparing with video games.
They're usually not very dangerous, and this one's probably going to be fine. It's not a huge amount of it is astronomically speaking, it's not a huge amount of material. There's probably going to be some good aurora over the next few days, so that's pretty cool. It might disrupt some satellite communications, and there is a non-zero chance that it could cause some disruptions to the power grid, but that's very unlikely with this one. It's not that huge. But I just thought I'd mention it just in case anybody was wondering, hey, is the sun trying to kill us? The answer is yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
With all its might, each and every day, the day star attempts to burn you. So,
and in my case, it succeeds.
Watch out for that.
Well, you do lack a protective soul layer, Chewie.
Yeah, there is that.
I'm also extremely pale, which I don't think those two things are related, actually.
That's the status on the sky, right now. Other than that, hey, there's a super moon coming. It's not as cool as it sounds, but, yeah. If you want to know.
Well, admittedly, if the sun is trying to kill us, the supermoon has to save us, right?
Yeah, let's go with that. If you want to learn more about the supermoon, come to the open house at the Brooks Astronomical Observatory at Central Michigan University tomorrow night. And I will totally tell you, because it's going to be cloudy and we won't be looking at anything else. So, that's going to be great.
Awesome.
It really does. The problem is we have to plan these things months in advance, and we don't know what the weather's going to be like, but statistically speaking, not good.
So, Clues, if next year during the Great North American Eclipse it is a cloudy day, who do I complain about now? Who do I complain to prevent that?
Meteorologists.
They love that.
Yeah.
So, wait. Do we have to complain to the meteorologists in South Carolina?
Yes.
Or can we just hit any meteorologist?
Find your nearest meteorologist and ask them what the weather will be like in 5 days. Whatever they tell you is likely a lie.
I mean, I dated a meteorologist, and that is dangerous.
What was the outlook?
Well, that was past tense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Let's just say I asked her, and then, like, years later, the sun tried to kill us all.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, it does that from time to time. Anyway, I'm sorry. Look, we've really got to finish this thing. Other things, hey, if you want to hear more out of me, and I can't imagine why, try the Random Discard podcast, where eventually things get posted. I actually uploaded an episode just before the show started. Now I just have to finish. Have to finish the show notes. But we talked about a lot of stuff, and man, I just don't think I have it in me tonight. So tomorrow I'll fill in the show notes and then it'll actually get posted. You can reach me on the Twitters. I am at Locke Luzze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. That's, I guess, it. Is that it? That's it. Yeah. Back to you, Chewy.
What about, oh, Bill did win already. Yeah. Okay. Duh. So I would like to apologize for anybody who wanted to see more video content out of me last week. My part-time driving gig went full-time last week. The drive to just outside of Atlanta for 12 hours was just one day. They actually drove my ass all over creation all of the days last week. So that was fun. And when I wasn't driving or podcasting, I was exhausted. So, yeah. But I've picked it back up, and I've been putting up some content. My friend Molly and I have been playing Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, and we recorded the fourth episode a couple weeks ago, and I finally got it posted once I got back last week.
The Chicken Man scares me.
Yeah, and the Chicken Man is the stuff of nightmares.
Chicken Man?
Oh, you haven't seen the new episode?
No. Is this the Sun's Vault?
The it is. Ugh. Yeah, the final boss is directly from the Sun and wishes you dead.
That sounds like the Sun. It checks out.
See? But Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, for those that don't know, is in pre-alpha, and it's a lot of fun. You set up an army to take down another army, and each part of your army is worth a certain number of points. You have a certain number of points total, and you place them on the battlefield, and then you hit go, and they... The AI, and I use the I in AI loosely, proceeds to beat the crap out of each other, and they're a bunch of googly-eyed morons, and it's really hilarious, and the Chicken Man is, in fact, scary.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, if I were trying to play some kind of game like Slender, and the Chicken Man showed up, I would walk away from my computer forever.
Just unplug the controller or the computer and walk away.
Yeah, that would be over. I'd be like, nah, nah, not, no more.
Well, then, yeah, you've got to watch the last episode then, because the Chicken Man.
Mm-hmm.
I also put up another episode of Super Hot for Where Are My Legs? Super Hot is, a first-person shooter with the hook where time only moves when you move. And in this episode, I actually got a new ability to hot switch into enemies so I can jump into the body of an enemy, leaving the body I was in to get shot. So it's really neat. It opens up a whole new world of, Don't You Dare Close Your Eyes, of gameplay. I'm getting close to the end of that. I think I've only got one episode left in the story mode, which is neat. I love this game so much. It's so much fun to just stop and look around as bullets are flying towards you and whatnot, and it's really cool.
I think I would rather it happen in the game.
Pause. Like, he just shot in my direction with a shotgun. That guy's over there with a cross, what's the thing? With a crowbar. So I can jump into him and then throw, there's a thing on the wall. I can pick the thing off the wall and throw it at him. And he'll drop his gun. Then I can pick up his gun. And there's lots of strategy to be a first person shooter. That's where stuff is constantly happening. It's just happening with time virtually stopped. So it's really cool. Just check it out if it sounds interesting to you. It's the fourth. Yeah, it's the fourth Super Hot video I've done. And just today, I uploaded another Rogue Legacy video, because I love that game with a passion, even though I'm not terrible at it anymore, but I'm still not great. It was my first run with a new class that I unlocked in the last video, the Lich. And it's really cool. When you kill an enemy, it gives you a bonus to your max HP up to a limit. So you start off really weak, and then as you run around smashing things, you get stronger. And it's actually the first Rogue Legacy video I've done where the entire video is just one run. Like, I didn't die and start another character. I just kept on trucking through the whole video, and by the time I died, I was like, well, that's a video. And it turns out that my main nemesis in that video is my microphone, who kept creeping down into the shot. To comedic effect, if you enjoy watching me be frustrated. So, I enjoyed it during editing. While I was recording, it pissed me off something fierce. During editing, I was rolling, though, so. But anyway, that's what's been going on the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/C/TheManaPool, where I play lots of things that aren't necessarily magic. Although, I need to record more Kaladesh magic duels. Because I just remembered, whoops, I got hung up in Five Nights at Freddy's and whatnot for Halloween and sort of forgot to go back to duels. So that's a thing I will do tomorrow while hopefully the world doesn't end, but no promises. If you're listening to this and it's Wednesday or later, I hope you survived. I hope we all survived. So let's see what else is going on. All right, so you can follow me on Twitter at TheManaPool. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's Chewie, at mtgcast.com. The Manapool, did I say that the YouTube channel is youtube.com/C/TheManapool? I think I did.
Probably, but if not, they've heard it before.
Yeah. All of these links to everything that we ever mention are in the show notes, by the way. Random Discard is in the show notes. All of our Twitter accounts are in the show notes. All of the Patreon and the YouTube channel, all that stuff is down in the show notes.
There's a recursive link to the show notes in the show notes?
No, because that would probably make the MTGcast website explode.
No, but now they're going to go look. So, success.
Fair enough. They won't go look.
No, they won't look. I'm kidding myself.
If you want to help support what I do with all of these, the video content and the two podcasts a week and all that, then by all means, go check out my Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheManaPool, where everything helps so much, and you can get Manapool episodes and all of my YouTube videos early if you so choose. You can get, if you so choose, the odds and ends, which is all of the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that's uncensored and a little out there sometimes. I'm trying desperately to turn the content creation into an actual full-time job, but until then, until it starts to actually pay, I need your help. So thank you. And also, spread the word. If you enjoy Monday Night Magic, or the Manapool, or Random Discard, or the YouTube channel, or just anything that we, any of us do, then by all means, do tell your friends, or tell other people that you think would enjoy it. Because word of mouth.
Strangers on the street.
Especially them.
Steve, turn to the person next to you on the bus. Suggest that they listen to one of those things.
Or all of those things. Go all out.
Yeah, check if you're going to talk to them, may as well.
Exactly. Check it out. They tell you about the tournament results, and then you watch this idiot play video games, and then this guy and his partner, whose audio sounds terrible, get their conversating on. That was a Rich joke. See, because he...
Yeah, I got that.
He keeps using the proper microphone.
Not everybody will get that, but...
It's not actually terrible. But it was funnier to say terrible.
It was, yeah.
Anyway. So yes, thank you all so much for all of the help and all of the support. Also, I am looking for a storefront, a website, an online storefront place. So if any of you have any sort of experience, good or bad, with any of those sites, like, let's see, the ones I have on the list right now are, what is this? Designed by Humans, Jinx, Fanfiber, Spreadshirt, The Yeti, Y-E-T-E-E, isn't that cute? TeePublic, Teespring, I think Cafe Press used to be a thing, I don't know if they still are. Places like that, where I want to be able to set up a storefront to just sell Manapool merch, and if we ever get a Monday Night Magic logo, then M&M merch, that sort of thing.
Right.
If you have any experience with any of those, good or bad, then please let me know. Or if you know of any others that I didn't rattle off, I'm in the research phase now. So yay. Okay, now I think I'm done. I think that's everything. I think that's enough. So, this has been episode 536 of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. And by the way, if you want to support Magic Podcasts in general, but not me specifically, I completely understand, you should go to mtgcast.com, click on Support MTGCast, and you can sign up there for a monthly donation. Think of it as a tip. Because while MTGCast is completely free for all of us podcasters, and it's completely free for all of you listeners, it's not actually completely free, and every little bit there also helps. So even though I don't see any of it, because I volunteer, I guess, at MTGCast, I suppose, I still appreciate it, so thank you all very much. Volunteer? Yeah, that's the PC way to put it, right? Yeah. So, so with that, we'll be done. So thank you, as always, to Clues and Squee for putting up, hanging out with me.
Woo!
And thank you all so very much for listening, and, go play some magic.